Birthday, Dad. There we go. Happy birthday. How are you? Hey, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. I needed to get that birthday greeting out to my dad right away because otherwise I would forget. And on the chance that he listened to tonight's show and I didn't wish him a happy 72nd birthday, why, that would be it. I would be written right out of the will. So happy birthday, Dad. And hey, truth seekers from coast to coast and around the globe, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. No, I am not Mike Malloy. I am Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Yes, your friendly citizen, investigative troublemaker, journalist, blogger, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, broadcasting live once again from the left coast out here in Los Angeles, beautiful downtown Burbank, at the lovely studios of K-Talk AM 1150, here with you all night long and for the balance of the week, as the Malloys are still out and about cruising the Caribbean. There they are. Yes, they're cruising the Caribbean, enjoying their progressive cruise with a bunch of our friends, Hal Sparks, Carrie Harrison, Bobby Kennedy, David Bender. Were we invited? No. That's right. They're making their baby happy on the Progressive Cruise. So hope they're having a good time. They will be back next Monday, hopefully feeling good with their sea legs back or whatever, however that goes. Until then, you got me. I'm delighted you can be with us here tonight. We've got another big show after last night's big show, and it was a big show. If you didn't hear it, we've got the archives up at bradblog.com. Don't listen now, because we've got three more hours ahead. But, you know, find the time to listen later. It was a hell of a show. We're going to be talking about that show and about a lot of the things we talked about yesterday. Some more today. But you can check that out at bradblog.com, where we have the archives. Or if you're smart, you can listen to the much higher quality version over at the Malloy podcast site over at MikeMalloy.com. If you're not a Mike Malloy podcast subscriber, you should be, because you need to support independent progressive media like Mike Malloy, who allows me to come in and sit down and talk to you whenever he's out and about having fun on the high seas. So that's okay, Tony. We'll play later. Our phone number tonight is 877-520-1150. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, if you would like to join the convoy, yeah, I'm talking to you out there, Will, wherever you may be down in Tennessee. We're probably going to be talking about you tonight as well. 877-520-1150 is our phone number. You should also drop by to the tremendous chat room going on over at the blog, over at bradblog.com. Go to the top item there, click through. You'll figure out how to get in. It is once again being hosted by Desi Doyen. And I do think 4Earth has finally gotten in there. She's helping us out again tonight. She's our great friend. God love you, 4Earth. And so a lot of great discussion going on there, as there was last night in the chat room. And I actually pulled some material out of the chat room to hopefully talk about tonight, because there was some really, really brilliant ideas, some great ideas, some great discussion about what was going on the show last night. Frankly, what was going on, what is going on in this country right now, and what the hell we are going to do about it. You know, I spend a lot of time whenever I'm lucky enough to come in and sit in for Mike, thinking about, well, what are we going to talk about? It's always about accountability. It's about the big ticket items. It's about what the hell are we going to do about the big ticket items? Election reform, media reform, saving the planet, assuring equal protection under the law, assuring that there is accountability for lawbreakers out there. Who was that, me? That wasn't, all right. that wasn't me. Assuring that, you know, we get that the corporations that are taking this country down, that we have somehow insanely granted this notion of corporate personhood to. Get the corporations the hell out of our democracy. These big ticket items that I talk about, that I cover at the Brad blog, that I, you know, like to come on here and talk about, like to figure out what the hell we're going to do about it. How do we get real change in this country? Not platitudes, not more corporatism, but real change. How do we put the people first? How do we put the people before profits? That's no easy feat. You know, you had Obama in there talking to the U.S. Chamber, and that's fine. He can talk to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Yes, they're horrible people who, frankly, hate America. They're, you know, a right-wing lobbying group. I don't care if he goes in and talks to them. That's politics. But he was in there, you know, pleading with them, begging them, please, please, you know, take some responsibility. Help us out with American jobs. They're not going to help him out. Not as long as these corporations have a legal fiduciary duty to their shareholders to turn the best profit they can. Period. Period. That's it. So what do we do about that? Well, we're going to talk about that a lot tonight, I suspect. We're going to be talking about that and much more with John Fugelsang. He'll be joining us coming up in the next hour. If you don't know John, well, pay attention. John Fugelsang, a comedian, actor, performer, a great Twitterer, in my opinion, a philosopher. He sits in with Stephanie Miller quite a lot in this very studio from where we are broadcasting tonight. He'll be joining us in the second hour to talk about these big ideas as well. All right, I'm going to get to that, some of that in a moment. Well, this all ties together. And you can Twitter us as well, I should say, at the Brad Blog. That's where I am. If you want to Twitter me, I would love to hear from you. Okay, so last night I opened the show with some breaking news. Some breaking news about Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the fact that she had hidden 20 years of hundreds of thousands, perhaps $1 million that she had received from Acorn. She didn't include it on her financial disclosure forms, and I called for her prosecution and her impeachment and everything else. And, of course, then I quickly made clear that it wasn't really Ruth Bader Ginsburg and it wasn't Acorn. It was Clarence Thomas. And it was the Heritage Foundation. And it was his wife's right-wing Tea Party group, Liberty Coalition, who had been taking hundreds of thousands of dollars. His wife, Virginia, was getting all of this money. And Clarence Thomas hadn't been reporting it on his financial disclosure forms. The disclosure forms that people coming before the Supreme Court would look at to determine who needs to be recused from a case. Well, Clarence Thomas clearly needed to be recused from the Citizens United case, which was decided in favor of the corporations, which allowed millions of dollars to flow into these groups like Heritage Foundation, which Ginny Thomas worked for, groups like the Liberty Coalition, which Ginny Thomas formed. And the reason I pointed to Ruth Bader Ginsburg and drew out that picture was to, you know, to explain how it is that had this been a Democratic nominee, the right-wing media in this country, which is to say at least 91% of it, would have been going on around the clock about this because, in fact, it's a crime. It's a crime punishable by a year in jail. for each such instance. $50,000 for each such instance. It's a serious crime. And yet it is being completely ignored by the media, and it wouldn't be, I argued, if it was a Democrat or a Democratic appointee in any case. Well, we've got some additional news tonight about Justice Thomas and about that case. I'll get to that in a moment. But it was some people didn't get the joke, or they did get it and they were angry at me for it. I got a Twitter last night from Maria Westwind. She said, the Brad blog, your little prank besmirching the name of Ruth Bader Ginsburg wasn't funny. What the hell does Mike Malloy see in you anyway? Well... Oh, well, you know, there you go. I guess she didn't get the joke. It wasn't really a joke, though. It was to make a point. I'm happy to say the truth seekers over at Democratic Underground, who also listen along every night, they seem to get it. Cascadians said Brad's play on saying Bader Ginsburg was guilty of Thomas's crimes was genius. Cascadians went on to say, now, mind you, I don't want Ms. Ginsburg to have had any ethical breakdowns and have that sort of crime hanging over her head. However, let's just suppose for a moment that both Ginsburg and Thomas were guilty of equivalent crimes like this. What would Limbaugh and Beck do? And then Cascadians went on to draw out the difference and how these two issues would be handled so differently. Completely differently. And they are being handled completely differently. Because in this case, it's a bunch of Democrats who need to step up. It's Democrats in Congress. It's the media, who is only going to step up to fight against right-wingers, of course. It's the Democratic-run Department of Justice. They need to take action. Are they taking action? No, they're not. At least not that we know of. I wish they would. Well, the Democrats in the House did take a little bit of action. Yes, they penned a sternly written letter. We're going to get to that sternly written letter after this break, and I will let you know what they are doing, what small steps they are doing, and how they could use some encouragement from you to demand accountability. And then we're going to broaden out and talk about the bigger picture, the bigger scam that we need to do something about. Yes, fire up the convoy, ladies and gentlemen. Start your engines. Brad Friedman in all night for Mike Malloy. A big, big show straight ahead. Hope you'll stay with us. Taking that time right behind my back. And I'm talking to myself at night because I can't forget. I won't back down. Hope you won't back down either from the things that matter. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy tonight on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad of bradblog.com. All right, before we get on to the broader topic, I want to get back to what the House Democrat... Oh, and by the way, yeah, I know. Christopher Lee, he resigned. Republican, New York Republican. Resigned because he was trying to pick up chicks over on Craigslist. And you know what? I don't care. Okay. But maybe you do. We'll talk about that later. You know, those are like shiny objects. Those are small things. They don't matter. These are the big things that matter. The fact that you've got a Supreme Court justice who has made a decision in the Citizens United case, which is going to affect this nation for decades, make it literally impossible for you to have your voice heard in a democracy on Election Day because you are going to be drowned out by millions and millions of dollars in corporate money. Thanks to Clarence Thomas as the fifth decision, a 5-4 decision in the Citizens United case. And what did Clarence Thomas stand to gain from that decision? Well, he stood to make a whole lot of money, at least the corporations that he was involved with, that his wife was getting a salary from, that he didn't tell any about, stood to make a whole hell of a lot of money. And he didn't tell anybody, and it was a crime. So, what is anybody doing about it, other than me? Other than Nancy Goldstein yesterday over at Alternet wrote an article about it. I laid out what was illegal about it, what the actual law was, the fact that he should have known. Well, we've got some folks in the House who are doing a little something about it. Today, 74 House Democrats have signed a letter to Clarence Thomas asking the Supreme Court Justice to recuse himself from any deliberations on the constitutionality of the national health care overhaul, arguing that his wife's work as a lobbyist creates, quote, the appearance of a conflict of interest. Oh, do you think? The move is the latest indication that the court battle over the health care law's constitutionality, which is expected to be ultimately decided by the Supreme Court, has already become a political tete-a-tete, tit-for-tat. There you go. This is in the Washington Post today. The House Democrats, their letter follows a suggestion made by Senator Orrin Hatch last week that Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan should recuse herself from any consideration of the health care law's constitutionality because of her previous position as U.S. Solicitor General under Barack Obama. I think that Kagan, who was the Solicitor General at the time this was all done, probably should recuse herself, Hatch told Fox News last week. So, yeah, they get in front of these things, these Republicans. They want her to recuse herself just for having served as Barack Obama's Solicitor General. Well, what about Clarence Thomas, who was meeting in secret with these right-wingers, Koch Foundation, was having secret meetings along, by the way, with Antonin Scalia? So they want him to recuse himself from national health care. Well, what about Citizens United? Shouldn't that decision be vacated? That's what Common Cause has argued. That's what Bob Edgar argued last night, president of Common Cause, when he was on with us last night. Yeah, I think he should. And you can read the letter over at Washington Post, signed by 74 House Democrats, asking Clarence Thomas to recuse himself from the case. But if you ask me, that's not good enough. There needs to be criminal charges, at least an investigation against Thomas. There needs to be impeachment hearings. If not now, because it's a Republican House, then in 212. It should be a campaign issue. If you agree, go over to commoncause.org, sign their letters. Go over to protectourelections.org, sign those petitions. Protectourelections.org. A whole bunch more straight ahead. Welcome back. Yes, please. Please, someone change the world. I realize we can't do it with this rinky-dinky radio program, but that won't keep us from trying, and that won't keep you from organizing, putting your brains together, and figuring out what the hell to do. Just before the break, I hit the clock hard there. I was encouraging you to go over to commoncause.org and sign on to their letter, calling for the DOJ to look into vacating the Citizens United case and to protectourelections.org and sign the petition to Eric Holder asking him to bring criminal charges against Clarence Thomas. And because I believe in disclosure, I'm happy and proud to say that protectourelections.org is a campaign of velvetrevolution.us, which is co-founded by The Brad Blog. And that is I, Brad Friedman, of The Brad Blog. And there you go. Full disclosure. Unlike Clarence Thomas, I actually believe in it. Last night, as we were talking about all of these things throughout the night and about corporate personhood and about all of these various outrages, we received a call Near the end of the night, which was great, and I put it up from Will in Tennessee. I put it up at Brad Blog today. Maybe we'll play it a little bit later. But he was a truck driver, and he said that we had awakened the sleeper, at least in him, and that he would love to see a convoy heading into Washington, D.C., tying up that city and demanding things get set straight. It was the best idea I had heard in a long time, frankly. And we were immediately contacted by somebody in the chat room over at bradblog.com, which is up and rolling right now. Hope you'll jump in. Another trucker who said he was on board. Then we got somebody contacted me on the Twitters at the Brad Blog, is our Twitter handle. And said that he was a trucker. He had been awakened, and as had others. So if you're a trucker out there tonight, if your CB radio is still working tonight, let the other truckers know that we're on the air, that we're on satellite radio, Sirius, channel 146, I think. Does that sound right? Yeah, I should check. I should know, shouldn't I? Here, let's find out. Here we go. Yes, Sirius, channel 146, XM 167. Spread the word. Let's see if we can get this country together and start focusing on the things that matter. And to that end, this morning I listened to the podcast of yesterday's Rachel Maddow show, and I was delighted, delighted to see her finally talking about something that I have been talking about for Lord knows how long. This notion, this fake notion that these people on the right who call themselves conservative, the notion that they are conservative in any way, shape, or form, they're just not. They claim they believe in liberty and freedom and the Constitution. No, they don't. No, they believe in corporatism. And as bad, they believe in a big government. So Republicans are out there believing in big government, telling you they believe in small government, but they're doing nothing but pushing for big government wherever they are in power. This is the lie. This is the big scam. The fact that you can have these guys go on the radio, on our public airwaves over and over again, talk about the Constitution, talk about the rule of law, talk about small government, and they don't mean it. If they meant it, if they cared about big government, they would have shut down the Patriot Act long ago. If they cared about the Constitution, the Patriot Act never would have moved forward. So I was delighted, delighted to see yesterday during the show, the House voted last night. Let's see, 24 Tea Party-backed Republican freshmen ended up joining with a majority of the Democrats, hallelujah, in voting against the extension of the Patriot Act. Now, the measure still received a majority, 277 votes, Republicans to 148 Democrats and Tea Party-backed Republicans. But because the Republican leadership is just so unbelievably inept, they put this thing up under rules that allow it to pass without debate, presuming it gets it has to get 2/3 approval. And they do this for non-controversial measures. And they consider this non-controversial despite the fact that the Patriot Act, you know, just destroys the Constitution. Search and seizure, forget about it. Equal justice under the law, due process, habeas corpus. All of this stuff is thrown out the window with the Patriot Act. Well, there are some people, apparently, in the Tea Party who actually, it turns out, believe in the Constitution. Yes, fealty to the Constitution and the rule of law is used by the liars who have funded and fueled the Tea Party. They don't actually mean it. Rush Limbaugh, he doesn't actually mean it when he calls for rule of law and smaller government. That's just a trick. It was a trick to get folks outraged so they could get so mad they would go in and elect Republicans, and that's what they did. But there are some people, apparently, in the Tea Party movement who actually believe in the Constitution, who actually joined guys like Dennis Kucinich, who called on them to stand up for civil liberties yesterday, and they did. They answered that call. Now, the Tea Party extension will probably pass when they do it under regular rules. They're looking at an extension of 1 year. Barack Obama, by the way, wants it extended for 3 years. There's your far-left liberalism, right? No. The real conservatives, who are they? They're guys, frankly, like Russ Feingold, who was run out of the Senate. He was the one who, the only one in the Senate, who stood up against the Patriot Act when it first came up. Said, no, this is an attack on our civil liberties. This is an attack on our Constitution. Dennis Kucinich did the same. But these right-wingers are so good at what they do, and they have so much control over our public airwaves, they're able to convince America that up is down, and down is up, and left is right, and conservatism is actually somehow liberalism. No, it's not. And by the way, progressivism is not liberalism either. You can be a conservative progressive, much as you can be a liberal progressive. Don't forget, Teddy Roosevelt was a Republican, and he founded the Progressive Party. He was also the trust buster. He broke up the corporations that got too big to fail. He set up the national park system to set aside our precious resources. Progressivism is not the opposite of conservatism. It's time that progressives take back the mantle of conservatism, frankly. And that's what Rachel was talking about last night. I was delighted to hear it. Because the Republicans are not about small government. They're not about conservatism. Most of them love the Patriot Act, despite what it does to the Constitution. Most of them want to outlaw same-sex marriage, despite the fact the Constitution requires equal protection under the law for everyone. They want big government to reach into your church and say, no, you can't get married to whoever you want to get married to. They support the torturing of citizens without habeas corpus rights, without due process. They want to target U.S. citizens for assassination. So does Barack Obama, by the way. The ultimate big government act, the death penalty. They want the government to be in the business of killing citizens. You can't get any more big government than that. Freedom of speech? They don't believe in freedom of speech. Remember when Cindy Sheehan got arrested for wearing a T-shirt? Talking about the Iraq war at the State of the Union, for Christ's sake. They want to kill Julian Assange, a journalist. They want to kill him, target him as a terrorist. So does Vice President Joe Biden, by the way, called Julian Assange a terrorist. They don't believe in balanced budgets. They say they do, but they every time they get in the power, they blow the deficit out of the water. Ronald Reagan did it. George Bush Jr. did it. They don't believe in fiscal conservatism. And now, of course, after saying they were running on jobs in the economy and anything else they needed to say and restoring the Constitution to this crazy left-wing liberal gone mad, this crazy Kenyan Barack Obama, they had to be get our country back, put us in power, and we'll restore the Constitution and fiscal conservatism and everything else. Lies. What are they doing? They're passing bills, or they're trying to pass bills limiting a woman's right to choose, to have an abortion. Yes, they want big government between you and your doctor. I mean, that's not conservatism. That's not small government. That is the big lie. That's the big lie, and they have tricked a lot of otherwise well-meaning people into believing in that lie. A lot of good folks, frankly, in that Tea Party who were able to come out and stand up and demand, the Constitution. Well, the Tea Party actually started 2 years earlier before Barack Obama was elected, back when Ron Paul and his people were out there having tea parties demanding accountability for George Bush, for his torture, for lies about foreign wars. Talk about big governments. So there are people out there who get it. Not the corporations who created this phony tea party. And by the way, I do not believe in everything. I do not agree with Ron Paul on everything. There's many things I disagree with. But when it comes to standing up for the Constitution, for accountability, for rule of law, for, yes, conservatism, the real one, not the fake one, not the George Bush conservatism, but the real one, keeping big government out of our private lives, yeah, I'm right on board, sign me up. And if more people could hear this, could hear Rachel Maddow last night, could hear what I'm saying tonight, you know what? It wouldn't be that difficult to get that convoy rolling into D.C. to demand torturers are held accountable, to demand that people who lied us into war are held accountable. Well, when we come back from this break, we'll play some interesting audio to prove the point that Rachel talked about last night, that I've been trying to talk about for years. Folks, don't let them snow you. Don't let them snow you. Those of you who are out there standing up for the Constitution, believing in the rule of law, calling for accountability for these criminals, you are the conservatives. You're the progressive conservatives. And it's time we begin unwinding their big lie. I'm Brad Friedman, in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us. You know, baby, we can have a lot of fun. I'm a man. I spell M. Fifty-two minutes after the hour, Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. John Fugelsang will be joining us in the next hour, again, talking about these big picture items, awakening the sleeper, as Will put it in Will the Trucker from down in Tennessee, who wants to fire up the convoy. Me too, Tim. Will. I'm confused with the chat room. Stop by the chat room where Tim from Los Angeles is in the bradblog.com chat room. Will said alluded to the movie David Lynch's Sleeper and said Dune. Man, see how worked up I am. David Lynch's Dune and talked about awaking the sleeper. There you go. Well, a lot of the people who are sleeping, they're not sleeping. They've been fooled. They've been tricked. They've been hoaxed. By Fox News, by Rush Limbaugh, by the rest of the gang, the liars out there who, told them they believed in small government conservatism. They don't believe in conservatism at all. They believe in corporatism. Corporatism. They don't believe in small government. They believe in big government. They want to reach into your bedrooms. They want to come between you and your doctors. So Rachel Maddow was on this beat last night and on the fake conservatism out there, and I'm just delighted because that is the big lie. She pointed to a case up in Wyoming where you've got, once again, these right-wingers, not conservatives, but right-wingers up there pushing yet another anti-abortion bill, anti-choice bill, to make it harder and harder for women to have medical care. Well, finally, we saw at the end of last month, a couple of Republicans who stood up and said no to this Republican bill in this Republican House, heavily majority Republican House up there in Wyoming. And it was great to hear because they were calling for real conservative values, not the fake ones, but the real ones. So you're going to hear Rachel Maddow introduce this piece. It was an exclusive that she had with two different Republicans from Wyoming speaking out against the Republican anti-abortion bill.
So listen to this. This happened recently. This happened late last month in the state house in Wyoming. Here is a Republican argument against a Republican anti-abortion measure. Listen.
When I go to the doctor, it is the most private thing you can imagine. I want myself, I want my husband, and I want my doctor there. And I don't want any government. What this bill does is say that as a woman, that I'm not smart enough to know the decision that I'm making. That somehow the state is required in this particular decision where they are required in no other medical decision. The doctors don't need to be told by us when we don't even know what the heck we're talking about. We don't even know what's in the statutes. All I'm asking is we keep government where it should be, and that's out of the doctor's office.
Keep government where it should be, out of the doctor's office. Thank you, State Rep. Lisa Shepperson from Wyoming and State Rep. Sue Wallace. There was another clip. I won't have time to play it here before the top of the hour. Maybe I'll get to it later in the show. Or you can go by the MSNBC website and hear this. Sue Wallace had to make the difficult decision of getting an abortion herself some years ago under very difficult circumstances. And she says, get the government, the big government Republicans, the big government liberal Republicans, the hell out of my doctor's office. You know, if the majority of Americans out there, if the truckers out there could hear the truth over our public airwaves, could hear the truth about what real progressives believe in, they'd find out. They'd all find out. We are on their side, man. We are on your side, America. You are on our side, America. There's a lot of liars out there telling you that progressivism is what it isn't. We're on your side, America, and it's about time that we reach out to some of these folks who have been lied to in the Tea Party and help them understand the truth. And stop looking at the shiny objects and stop looking at Sarah Palin said this or that. Let's look at the things that matter. Accountability, the Constitution, the good of this planet, privacy, the rule of law, all of the above. John Fugelsang is going to join us next. Brad, in for Mike Malloy. To Peoria, to Poughkeepsie, to Prague. This is the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman sitting in for Mike. Yes, it is I, Brad of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen, investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fella, if you ask me. All I'm trying to do is set the world straight before the Malloys get back in town on Monday. It's the least we can do for them while they're out and about on the high seas, Tony, out and about on the high seas, enjoying the... There they are. Man. You are the worst engineer I have ever seen. All right. The Malloys will be back with you next Monday. Until then, you got me through the rest of the week. I hope that's okay. Joining us, by the way, tomorrow night, Tom Tomorrow will be with the great Tom Tomorrow. Speaking of progressive media and progressives and folks fighting to survive, Tom Tomorrow is out there fighting to survive as newspapers shut down, as alternative weeklies shut down. So you know what? As you see, if you like Tom Tomorrow, if you like any progressive media out there, progressive media outlets, whether it's Brad Blog, Salon, Truth Out, Raw Story, Alternate. I don't want to leave out any here, frankly. The small bloggers that you like, go support them. Go support them. Whatever that means, most of them, you know, have donation buttons, PayPal, whatever. The fight to keep progressive ideals on the airwaves, on the media, in the progressive blogosphere, I can tell you firsthand, it's a hell of a fight, and we are not winning the fight. But we can turn that around. But this democracy is not going to save itself. It's really not. And I think we've all gotten used to, you know, oh, somebody else is going to do it. Oh, Barack Obama, he's going to do it. No, he ain't going to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. Your convoy. Maybe I'll play Will in a bit, but I do want to, and we're going to get to your calls. I know you got the phone lines are jam-packed here, 877-520-1150. I'm going to try to get to everyone. And the chat room is still rolling over at bradblog.com. And I will take your Twitters. I got a whole bunch of them. I missed them. I looked away. I'll take your Twitters at TheBradBlog is my Twitter name. All right. A correction. Because we believe in transparency. Last night, I read a quote from Abraham Lincoln, 1864, and it went something like this. Corporations have been enthroned, and an era of corruption in high places will follow, and the more money, and the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until all health is aggregated in a few hands, and the republic is destroyed. So President Abraham Lincoln, that pinko lefty commie, speaking out against corporations. Well, as it turns out, he didn't. At least not that quote. That was a quote that we used in a story over at bradblog.com to kick off a story last night by Ernie Canning. It turns out that quote was actually from a letter said to have been written by Abraham Lincoln. It was included in the Archer H. Shaw's 1950 Lincoln Encyclopedia. It has been quoted over and over and over thousands of times. But apparently that letter was a forgery, at least according to research at Snopes.com. So we regret that error. And in fact, Lincoln, however, did speak about labor. And here's one example. He said, labor is prior to and superior to capital. But he didn't say that quote about all wealth being aggregated in a few hands until the republic is destroyed. So we regret that error. Wanted to be straight with you on that and offer our apologies. And also, there was another error as I was reading the some great stuff out of the chat room at Brad Blog, and I'll read some of this in a bit. I was having trouble. This is the second correction in one show. I was trying to read. There's this guy in the chat room. I presume it's a guy who spells his name Donttazemebro, all small letters. And I was trying to quote what this person was saying and having trouble reading his name. And here was me yesterday trying to pronounce that name.
Donttazemebro. I can't even pronounce it.
Well, of course, when I got home and I was able to look a little bit closer at the chat room, I figured out what that Donttazemebro was, all small letters. That, of course, was the person who goes by the name Don't Tase Me, Bro. So it wasn't, as I had it said it yesterday. How did I say it there?
Donttazemebro. I can't even pronounce it.
Don't Tase Me, Bro. Okay, I'm a genius. Did you ever hear of the capital letters there? Don't Tase Me, Bro. Okay, let's get to some of your calls. 877-520-1150. Oh, man. Well, I got some. Well, I'll get to the news in a second. You guys have been holding long enough. Let's go to Gary in Lexington, Kentucky. Welcome, sir, to the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you, Brad.
Yeah.
Brad, I just tuned in to you a few minutes ago. I didn't realize that you were on, or I would have come on earlier to listen to you. But I was telling the lady who answered the phone just how much I enjoy listening to you. And I think you're a very good standard bearer for the liberal progressive point of view and would really like to hear you more often.
Well, you're very kind. You know, there's not a lot of there's just not a lot of progressive radio. Do you have a radio station that you listen to? You listen on the web or the satellite? How do you hear the Malloy Show, Gary?
I'm actually on the road every night at this time, doing my job delivering medicine, and so I get bits and pieces as I, you know, come in and out of places making deliveries, and so I'm picking you up on XM, and very much enjoy it. It really helps my evening to go by faster, and gives me hope to hear people doing a good job of articulating the issues and making interesting interviews with people who really have a lot to contribute as far as the progressive liberal outlook on our society, and I very much enjoy it.
Thank you, sir. I was
listening to Hartman a couple of days ago, and he said something that I wanted to pass on to you that I had forgotten all about. I'm 64, but he brought up the point that it used to be in the newspaper, you could go to the classified section, and there was a section for male help and a section for female help. And I had forgotten all about that, but I remember very well when I was younger as a kid looking at the classified section, seeing that.
Yeah,
and it just made me think about, you know, how far we have come, and you know, it's good to not only see how empty the glass still is, but also to remind yourself that just how full the glass has gotten.
You know what? You're absolutely right. Sometimes it's unfortunate. It's one step forward, two steps back. But as I pointed out before, certainly at the blog, and I think here on Mike's show as well, rights generally win. It takes too long, but rights generally win. You know, we've had this fight against same-sex marriage, this idiotic fight. You know, that was again nothing about it was conservative. You know, the judges who decided in favor of same-sex marriage were conservatives, were Republicans who looked at the Constitution and they said, hey, wait a minute, equal justice for all means equal justice for all. And, you know, and so it's taken a long time, and but it's eventually getting there. Don't ask, don't tell. The rights eventually win. But in the meantime, a lot of people pay a price for it. And at the same time, these corporations are growing out of control. People are dying. People are starving. People are out of work. So it's not enough to just wait for the Constitution to catch up to us. We need to do something to light a fire. And you're right. Having more progressive radio, taking back the airwaves for the people from the corporations would make a big difference. Gary, I really appreciate your call. And I'm glad to hear that we're making the night, your work tonight, go a little bit easier.
Brad, keep up the good work. You do a great job. Thank you so much.
You're very kind. Have a great night, sir. All right, let's get to, who should we get to? Eric in Orange County, California. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Eric. What's on your mind?
Hello. Hi, Brad.
Hey.
I think you're fantastic, too. I always enjoy listening to you whenever you take over for Mike.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Hey, I have a comment about the difficulty of convincing people of the truth.
Yeah.
I have an example. Lately, we've been hearing about what a great president Ronald Reagan was.
Yeah.
And I know the facts because I remember I lived through it. In the early 1980s, I was a member of a peace group, and we were out protesting against all the nuclear weapon systems that he was spending money on, and at the same time making huge tax cuts. And I believe, as a lot of us do, that this was the origin of all of our present crises in the early 80s. And I have another example, which is a recent example, in talking to some of my family members about the need for health care reform. And their response is, why do we need to change our system? Our system is already the best in the world.
I'm guessing your parents have a health care, right?
Well, yeah, these are suburban types.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, well, actually, our healthcare outcomes are about 57th among the world nations.
Right.
Their response is, Oh, I don't believe that. Where are you right. getting that information from?
Right.
Well, it was a WHO study.
Exactly.
Oh, if our system was not the best in the world, then why does everyone want to come here to get health care?
Also a lie.
So my belief is that, you know, people believe what they hear over and over and over again.
Yep.
And those beliefs are very resistant to the facts.
Eric, thanks for the call. There we go. You're absolutely right, Eric. I appreciate the call. People do, they are being disinformed. Every single issue, everything you hear comes back to the media every single time. Yes, 40% of America thinks Barack Obama is a Muslim. There is no proof for it whatsoever, no evidence of it whatsoever that he was born in Kenya. And yet, all of these people believe it. Why? Because someone told them this over and over and over again, and it is the right-wingers who have taken over your airwaves and are lying to you. Telling the truth here on The Molloy Show. Shining for you, coast to coast and around the globe, 23 minutes after the hour. Brad of bradblog.com in for Mike Molloy. Getting back to your calls in a moment, 877-520-1150. Yes, it's the media, stupid. I keep saying that over and over. It's the media, stupid, until we get our public airwaves back for the people. They are limited, the airwaves. They are like, they should be protected, guarded like our national parks. They are supposed to be guarded like our national parks. That's what the FCC used to do until Reagan came in and threw away the Fairness Doctrine. And in 1988, and then in 1996, Bill Clinton came in and signed the Telecommunications Act and allowed just a few corporations to buy up all of our public airwaves, the limited bandwidth that we have. So when you wonder why you can't hear Mike Molloy in most states around the country, why you hear nothing but Rush Limbaugh and right-wingers, you know, on three and four different stations in your town, that would be why. Roll back the Telecommunications Act. And let's look at actual fairness, actual balance, actual competition, which no longer exists in corporate talk radio, I'm sorry to say. And we're going to be talking about that actually later this week, I think on Friday, with Sue Wilson of BroadcastBlues.tv. All the problems go back to that. Very quickly here, here's one problem that goes back to that and to corporatism. Bush's EPA chief urged regulating carbon emissions in 2008, according to a letter. But then he was talked out of it by ExxonMobil and Dick Cheney. And ever since then, and these hearings today in the Congress were amazing, in the Energy Committee, these right-wingers in complete denial. There is no global warming. Man has nothing to do with it. Tens of thousands of scientists over the decades can go straight to hell. I don't care what they say, despite the fact that 97% of them around the world agree they can go to hell because corporate ExxonMobil says otherwise. So there you go. And, of course, the people believe it because that's what they hear on the corporate media. Hello. Ann in Sarasota, Florida. Welcome to the Mike Molloy Show. Ann, what's on your mind?
Hi, Brad. Well, I'm sitting in the middle of the land of foreclosure gate.
Yeah.
And it's hitting real home.
Yep.
Here at personal, over half the sales in our local area are either foreclosures or short sales, which means they're in foreclosure, but they get permission to go ahead and sell it for less than the home's mm-hmm. worth or the mortgage is worth. What what's got me concerned is there's so many people on so many levels, all the way up the food chain to the big, huge, too big to fail banks that were involved in creating this mess that we're now dealing with. And nobody's going to jail. The big media is not talking about it.
Right.
If it weren't for the local media, you wouldn't even know what's going on. And if you're not living in one of these areas where it's being hard hit, like here or in Nevada or California or Arizona or Chicago area, those kind of places, you would think everything's fine.
And you're absolutely right. I got to get to a break, but you're absolutely right.
Something real important's coming up. Can you hold me over?
Okay.
So I can just,
I'll hold you over, and I'll get to you, Rain. So stay put, and everyone else on the lines. Yes, it's criminal what's going on. There needs to be accountability. But ain't nobody bringing it. We're bringing it. Bringing your accountability as best we can. Hope you will join us. Brad in from Malloy. Stay with us.
He can make you love. He can make you cry. He will bring you down. He will get. I just need some place where I can lay my head. Hey, mister, can you tell me where a man might find a bed? He just grinned and shook my hand. No was all he said. Take a load off, Benny.
All right. Take a load off right here on the Mike Malloy Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Taking your calls as we wrap up another broadcast from the left coast. For the Malloys, 877-520-1150. And we were finishing up with Ann. I had to get to a break there. So very quickly, Ann, to finish up your point concerning the mortgage, the foreclosure land in which you live in Florida.
Well, you could probably do a whole show of what all is going on that shouldn't be happening. But
right.
What I saw today was a Wall Street Journal article, very small, and I've seen nothing on the media about this, that the White House is coming out supposedly on Friday with some proposals as to what to do to deal with Fannie and Freddie, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, which right now in the past year, 9 out of 10 new loan originations went to Fannie and Freddie. So the banks are passing on the mortgages to Fannie and Freddie.
Yeah.
And the number one option that on the recommendations is to do away with Fannie and Freddie altogether, not have the government guaranteeing any loans, and just leave the FHA loans in place. But that's it. Can you imagine what that's going to do to the real estate market if the banks now lose that guarantee and decide they're no longer going to do 9 out of 10 loans that they
right.
were doing?
Yeah, well... Of course, because, you know, Fannie and Freddie made it easier for the people, you know, to get into a house. Look, here's what we need to do. They broke the law when they foreclosed on all of these houses. They didn't follow the rule of law. They threw people out left and right without making sure that, you know, that they were legally allowed to foreclose on them. That was illegal. Put those people in jail. Put the people who have been foreclosed back in their houses. And next time we have to, bail out the goddamn banks, instead of doing that, give the people the money so they can pay their mortgages to the bank. How hard is that? I mean, it's, you know, accountability. Put the bad guys in jail. Put the good guys in their houses.
Well,
I got to go in.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, I hear you. Okay. I really do. But I got to move on because I got a lot of folks that I really would like to get to here that have been holding for a long time. So, and I'm coming to you next, Rain, but I want to set this up. The U.S. is struggling to build case against Assange. This, by the way, for all my right-wing friends out there, people who have been told they were conservative or whatever. From FoxNews.com, U.S. investigators have been able to uncover evidence that WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange induced an army private to leak government documents to his website. according to officials familiar with the matter. New findings suggest PFC Bradley Manning, the intelligence analyst accused of handing over the data to the WikiLeaks website, initiated the theft himself, officials said. Heroically, Brad added. That contrasts with the initial portrait provided by the Defense Department officials of a young man taken advantage of by Assange. Further denting the push by some government officials to prosecute Assange, the probes have found little to link the two men. For the U.S. to bring its preferred case against Assange of inducing the leak, it would have to show that the WikiLeaks founder specifically encouraged Manning to hand over the documents. Here's an idea. How about you let the media and the journalists do their thing? Which is, freedom of speech. You might have seen that First Amendment thing in there. Am I crazy for saying that? No, I'm a conservative. I believe in free speech. A real conservative, not the phony ones you hear on Fox News. On this topic, I believe, Rain joins us from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to the Molloy Show, Rain.
Thanks.
Thanks for hanging on such a long time. I do appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure.
What's on your mind?
Well, I was going to say Guantanamo.
Uh-oh. Not yet.
No, but I've gone up to Quantico three times. For demonstrations for Bradley Manning.
Oh,
the
good.
Last one was pretty hairy,
yeah.
Actually. But
that was the one where they tried to dragging David Swanson. Yeah. You guys grabbed him back, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was fairly serious.
Yeah.
And it had changed radically from the previous demonstrations, mm-hmm. when we were actually allowed onto the premises and went to the park down by the water and so forth. That's a serious issue for me and should be for everybody. But I was reading today on Daily Kos about, WikiLeaks supposedly has this cache of information on a bank,
right.
Not named. And it should, apparently, it could be Bank of America. And so now Anonymous, which is another group that I just learned about recently.
The hacktivists, Anonymous,
the
yes.
The hacktivists,
yes.
They have gone in and pilled a whole bunch of, like, 50,000 documents from the Bank of America and three security companies or insecurity companies, mm-hmm. however you want to call them, that are trying to figure out how to downplay WikiLeaks' significance. They are actually suggesting, and they have their budget down. They're actually suggesting that they submit bad data and have it come back out bad.
Right.
They can discredit them.
Put fake leaks out there. Yeah, they're trying to do anything they can to discredit these people. And the fact of the matter is they're no different than Bradblog.com, New York Times. We get leaked documents from sources. If we check them out, if they're valid, if we run them. If they expose, corruption and, government waste, corporate corruption, then they need to be exposed, period. And we need to back off this notion that Julian Assange, that the vice president of the United States, I expect it from Sarah Palin, but that the vice president of the United States would call Julian Assange a terrorist. Oh, man, who are these people anymore? Rain, I got to run. I got a lot of folks on hold.
No, you can't leave.
What? I can't?
I just want to say
what?
Thank you very much for all you've done. You are actually part of why I've become an activist.
Oh, bless you, Rain, but I'm not bailing you out. If that's what you're asking for when you get arrested next time, I'm not going to help. All right. Hey, no, really, I appreciate that, Rain. And most importantly, I really appreciate your activism, your standing up, getting out there, fighting, getting out to Quantico, speaking up. Quantico, there's another great place the convoy could show up. Let's send the 18-wheelers out there. Rain, I got to go. Call back later this week. I'm sorry. I want to get to everybody. They're on hold as long as you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rain. Take care. All right, Matt, I'm sorry you had to hold so long as well. Welcome to the Mike Molloy Show, Matt, from El Cerrito, California.
Thank you, Brad.
Yeah, what's up?
with all the news in the about Egypt and the guy they're trying to get rid of right now.
Yes. Hosni Mubarak.
Way, yeah, Hosni Mubarak. And the way Israel's complaining, oh, no, he was our guy.
Right.
And, you know, it's time we got the hell out of everybody else's porridge. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I do. But you know what? We're not doing that, Matt. Instead, what we're doing is supporting this Omar Suleiman, the guy who has been our torture guy in Egypt.
That's what I mean.
The guy that
That's
we've propped
I mean.
Up. That's who we're supporting. Our CIA torture point man out there, where we have renditioned 40 people to be tortured. Many of them completely innocent, had nothing to do with terrorism. We're now supporting that guy. We don't learn. We don't learn. And you know better, Matt, and I know better, and anybody who pays attention knows better and can see that we are supporting these terrorists enough.
Can I say one more thing?
You can.
We as people, as a species, we know what's going on as an individual. As mm-hmm. a group, we are absolutely retarded. Absolutely the lowest of the lowest.
No, Matt, I got it.
And, you know, the public is to blame for every damn thing that's happened. I want to say, I think this country is being taken over as we speak, probably by China and Russia. I honestly, to God, believe that. I think we're in dangerous times. We have terribly spoiled, irresponsible public, letting everything go under the bridge. We can't even remember a trial for John Lennon's killer. We're so depraved.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate your call, and I hear you. And no, I don't believe it's the people. I believe it's the media, that the people are misinformed. If they knew that this guy was our terrorist, yes, our terrorist, our torturer, you know, that we would kidnap these people off the streets and send them to Egypt to be tortured under George Bush, George W. Bush, 40 of them, and that Barack Obama hasn't done a damn thing about it. Hasn't done a damn thing. This is not about left and right. This is about right and wrong, people. We've got to get away from that paradigm, and, well, I've only got a couple more days left here on the Mike Malloy Show to do it, but I'm working on it. Let's go to Ron in Prescott, Arizona. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Ron.
Good evening, Brad. First things, please spell John's last name.
John whose last name?
The guest you had on earlier.
Oh, Fugelsang. Oh, I'm sorry. John Fugelsang. I was going to say just the way it sounds. Fugelsang. Fugelsang.
Okay.
Got it?
Okay.
All right.
I didn't. Yeah, I got it now. I didn't get it before.
You're right. It's a hard name.
He sounds like he really knows his stuff.
He does.
And I love to go to his website and see what he's got.
Yeah, he does. The smartest guy in the comedy business. Okay.
I'm a true conservative, and I'm upset that the phony, hypocritical Tea Party gopies, what they're spewing out. And
hey, Ron, turn down your radio in the background, Ron.
Okay. Yeah, they're all a bunch of hypocrites, and I'll give you a few examples of why they're hypocrites. They don't know the first thing about being a conservative is they hate welfare for the poor, but they love welfare for the rich,
yep.
The oil companies, the subsidies.
Yep.
Okay, they're for criminalizing drugs when the Constitution doesn't say anything about criminalizing drugs.
Right.
They're for wars of aggression.
Yep.
And they're for deficits when they're fighting these wars of aggression. And the last thing that they're super hypocrites are on is taking away the rights of the American people because of some phony war on terrorism.
Well done. Smart use of your public airwaves, sir. Well done. Thanks, Ron. I appreciate your call. I got to get to a break. We'll come back as many more of your calls as we can get to. 877-520-1150. And our friend Orangutan in the chat room last night, as we were talking about similar topics, came up with some really good ideas. And they have nothing to do with right and left. They have everything to do with right and wrong. Whether you're a Tea Partier, whether you're progressive, whether you're a conservative, I think you're going to agree with a lot of these things. And I'll read them when we get back. And I and take your calls. And I wish there was more politicians in any party, I don't care, out there calling for these things that we all believe in. Brad, in from Malloy.
As we sail into the mystic, knock, knock.
Say it's only a paper moon sailing over a cardboard sea, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
My thanks tonight, as ever, to engineer Tony Sorrentino and that whole thing, Tony, about you being the worst engineer in the world. I didn't entirely mean it. You're the best. See? Never make fun of the engineer. He'll just turn off. Oh, he did it again. So firing you as of Saturday. My thanks also to producer Desi Doyen out there working the chat room, hostessing there and screening your calls tonight. Thank you, Des. And 4Earth is helping us out big time hosting in the chat room tonight. Thanks again, 4Earth. Greatly appreciated. Let's see here. John Fugelsang. Fugelsang. My thanks to him, of course. JohnFugelsang.com. You'll find him out there online. Also, my thanks, of course, to Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to sit in, as ever. And for those of you listening on MikeMalloy.com, please stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid. I believe John Fox is sitting in for Bob, because Bob is also on the cruise. That's right. I'm screwed. I'm going to get to the calls in a moment, 877-520-1150, so sit tight. But as we were talking about all of this last night, there's some of the ideas of the folks in the chat room, what they came up with to sort of leapfrog over the left, the right, the Democrats, the Republicans, all that nonsense. Just the stuff that we all care about. No war. People before profits. Election integrity reform. The needs of the many and of a sustainable planet outweigh the greed of the privileged few. End corporate personhood, including the ability of corporations to contribute to political candidates. What right-winger real conservative wouldn't agree with that? Put people first. Support net neutrality so that all the people can use the net and it doesn't go just to the corporations. Make healthcare affordable and available to all citizens without discrimination based on history, genetics, or income. Require absolute transparency and accountability in government. Every single dollar spent, vote cast, and debate held should be available in a clear public format. Reform the penal system to focus on rehabilitation and education rather than punishment. Separate in all matters church and state. Decriminalize most activities considered consensual crimes. Withdraw our troops from all foreign lands unless mandated by Congress. Now, you may not agree with every one of those ideas, but I bet you agree with most of them. And that's whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, a progressive, a liberal, a conservative, whatever you want to call yourself. These are things that I think we all believe in. If we weren't just so divided by the loathsome corporate media who wants you to be divided. Rob in Richmond, California, welcome to the Malloy Show, sir. I'm sorry you had to wait so long and that we have so little time left. But
no problem. Brad, have you had a chance to read this fantastic op-ed piece in the Washington Post a few days ago entitled What Mubarak Must Do Before He Resigns by two progressive Egyptian human rights activists?
I did not. Can you summarize it in 15 seconds?
Well, yeah, it lays out what must happen. The worst thing would be if Mubarak just resigned without doing anything else, then the presidency would be an interim president, but not the vice president, Mubarak to Suleiman, as you say, our terrorist, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
It would be in the head of the Supreme Court or the head of the parliament, and those are just crony hacks of the same military thug regime. Mm. So what has to happen, according to these liberal progressive Egyptians, Mubarak must Well, he has to sign a decree ending the state of emergency. He has to delegate all his authorities to this, ironically, to this vice president, so that elections can be held. Because otherwise, fair elections in 9 months or whenever. Because without that, then in 60 days there would be a new election, and the vice president would become president.
Yeah.
And then they go throughout a commission list. I gotta get out.
I'm sorry, Rob. A Washington Post editorial. What's the headline on it again? Do you remember?
What Mubarak must do before he resigns.
There you go. What Mubarak? Appreciate the call, Rob. What Mubarak must do, what the people are forcing him to do, is pay attention to the people. They are standing up. They are protesting. Yes, the media ignored them at first, just the way they ignored protesters in this country. But they stuck around. They didn't leave. They demanded to be heard. They're still there, and they will be heard. Brad Friedman, in for Mike Malloy. We'll be back tomorrow night with Tom Tomorrow and much more. Glad you could join us here tonight. We'll have the archives up late night at bradblog.com. If you missed anything, I'm Brad. Keep it lit. Welcome, Truth Seekers, back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker from bradblog.com, drafted into duty to be the media this week, pulled out from my little office, my smoky little office, to talk on the microphone. And, of course, I've taken it upon myself to try to save America. Before the Malloys get back on Monday. I think that would be a great gift, don't you? They are, of course, out cruising the Caribbean, or the Caribbean. I say, Tony, they are cruising the Caribbean. They're out there. They are. They're out cruising the Caribbean. They're having a great time with the other progressives on the boat. We were not invited. Me? Bitter? What? Maybe. All right, we're going to be taking your calls in a bit as well at 877-520-1150. John Fugelsang is going to be joining me momentarily, but 877-520-1150 is our phone number. If you would like to get in on the conversation, any of the things we talked about in that last hour, I suspect we're still going to be talking about it, still going to be talking about the convoy, still going to be talking about how to awaken the sleepers in this country. How to undo the big lie that the mainstream corporate media has put on all of us, has made all of Americans, you know, believe that these Republicans are conservative when they're not. They're corporatists. You can also come on by the chat room at bradblog.com and say hello there. Some great folks in there who came up with some really great ideas last night as we were talking about all of this. And I'm going to read some of those a little bit later. And I can be Twittered if you like. And it sounds kind of hot. Over on the Twitters at the Brad Blog. Okay, I'm now joined by John Fugelsang, who is a New York and LA-based comedian, TV and radio personality, performer and writer, contributor to CNN, Fox News, CNBC, NPR, Air America Radio. Remember them? Yeah. Fox News Radio. He's, of course, a regular on Progressive Talk's The Stephanie Miller Show, which broadcasts from this very studio each and every morning, from this chair, that's right, to 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific time each day. And he is also, he's there with Stephanie every Friday. And, of course, he is a frequent guest host on her show. And I'm delighted that he now joins us tonight on the Mike Malloy Show. Hey, John, welcome to the Malloy Show.
Brad, how am I ever going to measure up? How am I going to wake people up out of the matrix when you're giving me introductions like that?
Well, you know what? You deserve it. I got even nicer ones for you about you being, frankly, I called you a comedian philosopher. That's,
yes, I know. I'm glad your standards are that low now, Brad.
They
are.
They are.
Into that circle.
I got nothing.
I love hearing you hosting Malloy. I'm a big fan, a longtime fan, and you actually had the greatest quote on a website anybody's ever had.
Uh-oh.
When Senator-elect Al Franken gave his quote for your site, the Brad blog.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's right.
Tell the folks what Franken said about you asked Franken for a quote for your blog, and what did he say?
Something like a blog by some guy named Brad or something like that. I can't.
Yes.
Yeah, he was very he didn't like me much back then. I wasn't crazy about him. I like him a lot more as a senator than I did as a radio guy.
Interesting. I think I do too as well.
Yeah.
Really becoming one of our heroes. We really, you know, we lost Feingold, but we got this guy, and I hope we're going to have him around for decades.
Well, you know what? He's actually a real progressive. He's standing up for real progressive values. And when he was on the radio, he was the only guy, I think he was the only guy on Air America whose show I was not on to talk about election integrity and the problems that we still to this day have with electronic voting. He sort of poo-pooed the whole thing. And so I was not crazy about him, but I got to say, now that he's in the Senate, he's doing a hell of a good job.
Well, I'll tell you, I love Air America, and I miss Air America. And
yeah.
I thought his show as a comedian, I mm-hmm. really admired what he did with the show creatively.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the problems I had with Air America back during 2004, during the election with John Kerry, was I think it stopped being, in some areas, some quarters, not all the broadcasters, but some stopped being liberal and began being Democrat.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think that then it just became, much like how I don't consider Fox News to be conservative,
mm-hmm.
I consider it to be pro-Republican, you know, or
exactly.
corporatist.
Yeah.
I think you actually have more real conservatives at MSNBC
mm-hmm.
embodied in Buchanan and Scarborough
mm-hmm.
than you do at Fox, which is all neocons and corporate guys.
Oh, yeah. It's a sham. It's a fraud. And I mean, everybody
and
knows.
I do want to say I love Fox. I watch Fox every day, and I have a DirecTV satellite, so I get it in the original German. So I am a fan.
Well, yeah. Well, of course, you know what? Me too. It's entertaining, but so is porn, and so is throwing Christians to the lions. That always got big crowds.
Porn's not bad for you, like Fox. But you know what?
Yeah.
The fact is, this is the reality, and this is where millions of your friends and loved ones and coworkers are being fed their Frank Luntz talking points.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're going to get along with these people, if you're going to be a functioning progressive in society, I mean, if you go around shaking people and telling them they're asleep and they're in the Matrix, they're going to think you're crazy, and they're going to mm-hmm. go back and get their IV hookup of your right drug from Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Fox's mandate is to tell people who are wrong about everything, from Clinton's impeachment right up through bailing out Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, you were right. People who were wrong about everything were right about everything. And they're very good at it. You'll never go broke telling people who've been wrong a lot that they're right. And rich people pay Fox people to make middle class mm-hmm. people blame poor people.
And you know what? And that's the thing. And because I hear, and I don't know if you got to hear any of the previous hour, but it really...
I did with you with the Teddy Roosevelt stuff. You're exactly right about that. He would never join. He would love them for the imperialism, and he'd hate them for the how bought off they are in the environmentalism.
Well, yeah, and I don't know. I'm not sure how much. The global imperialism, but not the corporatism. I mean, he broke up the trusts. He broke up the big, the too big to fail corporations. And
mm-hmm.
you know, there's nobody in there doing it. There's nobody. Not Barack Obama. Not the Democrats. None of them are saying, you know, these guys have gotten so big and so dangerous, and now the Supreme Court has allowed them to give all the money they want to do anything they want. I mean, this has just become insane, John. And, you know, so that's what I'm trying to talk about.
Yeah, corporations are people, but they shouldn't pay taxes.
They shouldn't pay taxes. They don't. And they don't die. And they, you know, can never go to...
They don't die, but they can screw you. And everybody listening to this radio show right now paid more in taxes than Exxon did last year.
That's it.
And, you know, one important point...
Because how much did they pay, John, last year?
That would be zero, Brad.
That's right. 0%.
Tell them what they
taxes.
Want, folks.
That's
another deficit.
That's it.
2012 will mark the 100-year anniversary of Theodore Roosevelt quitting the Republican Party
mm-hmm.
out of disgust with the corporate corruption and running for the Progressive Party's nomination for president.
Mm-hmm.
Next year will be the 100th anniversary that, you know, one of their greatest presidents, one of the most fascinating characters in our history, quit the party over corporate corruption. And now it's 100 years on. And if we go around, you know, telling conservatives that they're sheep, they're going to be proven right. They're not going to want to listen to us. And so I'm always trying to find ways of how are you going to, you know, really reach them. Tomorrow I'm going up to Boston to co-host with Jay Severin for a few days, who is a hardcore right wing. This guy's, you know, so right wing. Mm-hmm. His show should be in German. And but he's, you know, I'm very honored they've asked me up there. And it's like I'll go on Fox News any time, because even if you can't wake the person up out of the matrix you're trying to wake up, you might reach their kids or any bystanders who are listening. You know?
Yeah. No. And I think you can reach these people. I mean, as we saw yesterday with the Patriot Act vote, you had these Tea Party folks who said, yeah, you know what? I guess I have been running around for the past 2 years claiming that I believe in the Constitution. Maybe I should vote for the Constitution and against this huge government overreach that is the Patriot Act. And they joined Dennis Kucinich in saying, no, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I think these people, a lot of them, can be reached. They have just been so desperately and cynically and evilly disinformed by the Fox Newses, by the Rush Limbaughs and Sean Hannitys and these guys who control our airwaves, 91% of the airwaves being this right-wing talk. I don't think these are stupid people. I think they are misinformed and disinformed people.
Well, John Kenneth Galbraith has a beautiful quote I'm sure your listeners will know, and I'm going to bastardize it now, but where he said the primary, the modern conservative is engaged in one of the oldest activities of man, finding virtue in selfishness.
Mm.
And, you know, that's sort of what it is. I mean, I'm coming at this from a really abnormally Christian background. I don't know if everyone knows, but I come from a very, very Catholic background. We used to have open casket reunions in my family. my mom is an ex-nun, and my father was an ex-Franciscan brother.
Right.
So I grew up admiring Jesus the way any guy admires mom's first husband. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you know, these guys are trying to be the party of capitalism and the party of Jesus. And we don't even have capitalism anymore. We have a system of cronyism now that would make Ayn Rand join the Teamsters.
Right.
And as far as the Jesus thing, the Republican Party would never even – Jesus wouldn't even make it to the Iowa caucus if he ran for president.
Yep.
On the Republican. Jesus, this guy that these guys have as their mascot, was a peaceful, radical, nonviolent revolutionary who hung out with lepers, hookers, and crooks, who never spoke English, was not an American citizen, was anti-capitalism, anti-death penalty, mm-hmm. anti-public prayer – that's mm-hmm. Matthew 6:5.
Yep.
Never once anti-gay, didn't mention abortion, didn't mention premarital sex, and was a long-haired, brown-skinned, it's in Revelations, homeless, Middle Eastern Jew. Okay, that's their mascot.
Yeah.
And that guy couldn't get a job at House of Pancakes, much less the GOP.
He could. Not only could Jesus not be nominated by the GOP, there's this other guy who could also not be nominated by today's GOP, a guy by the name of Ronald Reagan.
Indeed.
He would be run out of town as a pinko commie liberal. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, talking with John Fugelsang. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, 877-520-1150. We'd love to hear from you. Much more straight ahead.
It's bad, you know.
When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide. Where I stop.
Yeah, some Helter Skelter. Brad Friedman in for the Mike Malloy Show. It's 22 minutes after the hour. Glad you could join us tonight. We're here all night long, and we're speaking with the great comedian slash philosopher. And if you don't get his Twitter feed, you should, because it's some really smart stuff. You can Twitter him at John Fugelsang. Yes, John Fugelsang himself joins us for the hour here on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad in for Malloy. Our phone numbers, if you want to get in on the conversation, 877-520-1150. Talking about the big picture stuff. And John, you know, I cover at Brad Blog, I cover those big picture issues. The, you know, democracy, election integrity. Integrity, media reform, corporatism, all of these things seem to me to be the things we need to focus on rather than those, you know, the Sarah Palins. What did Michelle Bachmann say today? Doesn't that seem like just a great distraction from what really matters in this country, or is it just me?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, one of the things is Billy Wilder said, if you're going to tell people the truth, make them laugh or they'll kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as a comedian who's hung up on political matters, I mean, my parents my dad was a Franciscan, and he was a history teacher, so he was very passionate about American history, and there were pictures of Gandhi and Dr. King all over my house growing up, and my mother calls stand-up comedy a ministry.
Yep.
She thinks that real artists are, you know, on a ministry and, mm-hmm. and serving their community. And I find that, you know, the jokes are the lube for truth.
Mm-hmm.
And a good laugh is the delivery system for a little nugget of truth where you can. And so, you know, I like Sarah Palin. I like what she represents. I have to say to all the liberals listening, if you guys scare Sarah Palin out of running in 2012, I will never forgive you. So many of us are because the only people who want Sarah Palin to run are the really gullible conservatives, the really smart liberals, and all the comedians. And we're the ones who really want it to happen. And I know that it's a distraction from the main thing, but if a larger point can be made out of focusing on Sarah Palin, I think she's invaluable because people care about her. Everyone has an opinion on her, and uh-huh. no one likes her more than MSNBC. She's great for ratings.
Well, listen, focus is one thing. Obsession is another. And I agree, you know, that people, what you do, what Stephanie does in the morning, frankly, what folks like Media Matters do in calling these people out, in exposing them for the liars and the hypocrites and the dopes that they are, that must be done. But in so many ways, it seems to me that this has become the obsession that we spend each day in the progressive blogosphere, in the progressive media, such that there is one, you know, obsessing on this stuff, saying, ha-ha, aren't they funny?
Oh, yeah, but, you know, that's a very human failing, and it's in an area where liberals are a lot like conservatives, where we make the mistake of actually, you know, letting ourselves hate them instead of letting ourselves use them.
Mm-hmm.
When people get hung up over Sarah Palin's kids, you know, they should be completely off limits, because not because it's unfair. I mean, give me a break, unfair. Bristol Palin is someone who gets paid 20. She's an unwed teen mother who gets paid 20 grand to preach abstinence, okay? So the family's horrible, but when we talk about them, we're not talking about policy. We're talking about people we don't like. Sarah Palin can be used mm-hmm. by the sane, aware community, because she eyeballs go there, ears go there. Everyone has an opinion about her. Half the people who hate her are conservatives. Keep that in mind. Republicans really hate her, and that can be really, really valuable when you're trying to, like, wake people up. So if we focus on Sarah Palin from a policy point of view, mm-hmm. I think that she can actually be a case where celebrity can be useful.
You know, it can be. So I don't want to overstate the case, but I think that maybe I'm not making it well, that, you know, there is an obsession with that Democrats and progressives seem to be reactionary instead of taking action, instead of doing something, you know, to stop the wars, to put people before profits.
The Democrats are like they're like an S&M, you know, dominance submissive slave who forgot his safety word. I mean, it's just so sad. You know, it's like the parties half the time there. It's like Clark Kent without a phone booth. And if people wanted a very, very nice, likable punching bag for president, John Kerry would be enjoying his second term right now. You know, the Democrats need to be helped. I want Chastity Bono to, like, join the party and teach them how to be a man.
But you know, it's not just the Democrats. It is the progressives. It's, you know, the progressive rank and file who get so obsessed with this stuff that we forget, oh, yeah, we you know, we got a guy in the Supreme Court who has lied about his financial disclosure for the past 20 years. You know, why aren't they ringing the Supreme Court with their convoy, their 18-wheelers, saying enough is enough? Listen, John, I got to get to a break. Our phones are filling up like crazy. If you can stick around.
I have a response to that when we come back.
All right, good. 877-520-1150. Firing up the convoy here tonight on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad in. Oh, and by the way, John, be careful what you wish for. I know how these voting machines work. I know you want Sarah Palin to get the nomination. Be careful what you wish for. Brad in from Malloy. A whole lot more straight ahead.
Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, that's a big 10-4 there, Big Benny. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we've got us a convoy.
Yeah, we do.
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling log.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Here comes Convoy, ladies and gentlemen. Brad Friedman for Mike Malloy. Brad of bradblog.com in all night long. Firing up the Convoy, and that's a reference to our caller last night, Will from Tennessee, who said we had helped awaken the sleeper, at least in him. And then we started hearing from truck drivers all over the country, and they were awakened, too. We continue, I hope, the awakening tonight with John Fugelsang, comedian, philosopher, and all-around hell of a nice guy. He's with us, and we're going to get to your calls, 877-520-1150. But, John, I had promised that we would, I had made the point that we need to get that convoy out and surround the Supreme Court until they run that criminal out. You had a comment you wanted to make.
I'd like to point out that musically, Brad, you just went from Helter Skelter to We Got a Great Big Convoy.
Thank you for noticing.
I just want people to notice the fall of man that just took place there.
Thank you for noticing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and you know Tony, of course. He's my engineer because I know he engineers for you when you sit in for Steph. And well, let's just blame Tony.
I love Tony. I wish I could quit him. We've taken many a fishing vacation and never opened the tackle box.
Is that right? I had no idea.
I'm doing my Brokeback Mountain impression.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that.
How are you doing, Tony?
he's very unhappy right now.
Yeah.
He just because you know he never. You got a comment? No, you can't get him to talk. Apparently, you got him to talk when you were on the air.
I tried to get him to talk when I was on the air. It was like getting John Entwistle of the Who to talk.
Yeah, I know.
Even
I know.
After he's dead.
I know, but then when he's off the air, try getting him to shut up.
He won't shut
I'm
up.
I'm just
at
saying.
All.
I know.
That's
what I'm saying. All
and
right.
You're in Stephanie Miller's actual studio right now, huh?
I am indeed. Yeah.
Just so you know, she hides some Quaaludes up on top of the door molding.
Is that where they are?
She has them all from the 80s. Stephanie got them.
Is that
That's
right?
Where they all went.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. I'll be going through her drawers later. Now,
that's great.
You
won't come back to haunt me on her show.
Did you? It will. Did you? Clarence Thomas, as I detailed in great detail, is a criminal. 20 years of breaking the law on these financial disclosure forms, up to a year in jail for each such instance, and yet we're all walking around like, oh, it doesn't matter. Can you imagine had this been a Democratic appointee who had been hiding hundreds of thousands of dollars received from Acorn, John?
He's a criminal for legislatively sodomizing the office of Thurgood Marshall. I mean, this goes back to what we were talking about before. What does the media focus on? His wacky wife.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we hear, that you know, he's married to this crazy woman who should be walking around wearing a surgical mask or something. I mean, we hear all about how Ginny Thomas calls Anita Hill, where we should be hearing about, you know, 600,000 dead Iraqis who want to call Ginny Thomas to make her husband apologize for the Iraq war and for putting him in office. But, I mean, no one – you're carrying a lot of stories about what's going on with Clarence Thomas and his malfeasance, but I'm not seeing any of this in the liberal media.
Nope. Well,
liberal media is really letting me down.
You know, I was going to say, when you find that liberal media, let me know where it is. But no, you're right. Even on MSNBC, they're not covering
it. And again, this ties back directly to what we were talking about before. Let me give you a Christian example. Last November, the Pope came out in 1 week and said that every nation has a moral responsibility to provide health care for all their citizens, regardless of their ability to pay, that every country had a moral responsibility to do this. And in the same week, the Pope also said that in some cases, it was okay to use condoms. Now, Brad, which story got all the airplay?
Of course, the condoms, of course, the Pope and condoms. And the other thing, well, let's not even talk about that, despite the fact that we've got the largest, you know, health care bill in the history of this nation working its way to the Supreme Court, where the criminal Clarence Thomas sits. And you're right, they want to talk about the condoms. I mean, this is the problem. John, what do we do about it? How do we fix this mess?
Well, you know, my point of view is not very popular, but I think that God's in charge and all empires must collapse. I don't really know if we can do anything about it. It doesn't mean we shouldn't stop trying. We have to work every day and strive to make our country and our society and communities a better place. But on some level, we are Rome with better plumbing. And, you know, Pap Buchanan wrote a book called A Republic, Not an Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really all that upset about this. We're in mm-hmm. for some decades of hardship, but I think in the long run, I'd like America to stop being the empire of the world. I think the empire scales back is a very good theme for the next couple of decades. And, you know, I don't view it as a bad thing that China's going to run the world. I say let us get back to being a country again, because isn't England a lot more likable now that they're not running the planet anymore? They're terrific. Just think how likable America will be again when China's the big bad guy.
Well, you know what? You're right, and your point of view may not be popular out in the world at large. I don't know, because I'm sure most people don't understand it, but it's very popular here on the Malloy Show.
Well, yeah, my point of view is that America's got to stop being an empire and go back to being a constitutional democratic republic. That should satisfy all clubs. You know, it's mm-hmm. not that radical an idea, but of course we can't admit we're an empire. We're the country that invented comic books, so we call ourselves the world's last remaining superpower.
Well done. Let's get some calls. You want to take some calls?
Take them.
Jimmy in Youngstown, speaking of God, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Jimmy.
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you, sir? You got a question for John Fugelsang or myself?
Well, basically, it's just a comment.
Right.
I guess it's a question. I know, you know, from hearing John on Stephanie, he has a good scriptural background.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering when he thinks that the Republican Party actually hijacked the church.
Good question. When did that happen?
I wouldn't say the Republican Party. I would say the conservative element in all of humanity has always hijacked the church. The power structure, I think it began when the Roman Empire realized that this little cult in their midst had gotten bigger than their own religion, and they had to co-opt it for themselves. That's why we celebrate Christmas on December 25th, because that was the feast of the Roman god Mithra. You know, in many ways, Christianity is a lot like the Republican Party. If you look at Lincoln and Jesus, both of them had their operations taken over by the guys who killed him. In the case of Jesus, it was the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
And in the case of Lincoln, it was the conservative, white racist Southerners. And, you know, that's not to be a blanket condemnation of conservatives at all. But
mm-hmm.
in terms of using Jesus to further your own dark ends, that's as old as religion.
Yeah, and you know what? And thanks for the call, Jimmy. Those folks down there in the South you're talking about, again, they're not conservative. They're just not conservative. They are right-wingers.
What does it even mean anymore? You know, like, liberal and conservative are two words I'd love to ban from the language. Dodgeball team names.
I have no idea, frankly, what liberal means. But I know what conservative means, frankly. I do, and it goes back to, of course, to, you know, the way the laws are interpreted and the Constitution is interpreted and so forth. I know what conservatism means, and I know that it, you know, means a conservative interpretation of the Constitution, and I know that the Constitution says equal protection for all. So when I see these racists down in the South who don't want to give equal protection under the law for all, I'm not going to give them the gift of calling them conservative.
Well, that's why I'm a fan of talking about what the word really means, too. I mean, the last Republican president to balance a budget was Nixon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But Bill Clinton was pretty good at balancing budgets.
Yep.
He got it done. To me, that makes Bill Clinton a responsible conservative.
Yes.
And, you know, when I talk about separation of church and state, I'm the conservative on that issue because that's how the founders wanted it.
Yep.
If you're against the death penalty, you're a conservative Christian because Jesus was opposed to killing sinners.
Yep.
You know, a lot of times I think we're all liberal and conservative in some areas,
mm-hmm.
every one of us, you know,
that's right.
The sane people. We all have things we're conservative, we're all trying to grow all the time and open our minds and open our hearts, and conservatives go through the same life spiritual struggles as liberals. Even if you're an atheist, you still grow as you in your life. And you know, I think that we need to remind ourselves of the commonalities, because we're only going to reach these people if we can just show them that we're human and that our logic and our values and spirituality that kind of are more based in reality than theirs are.
They're based in reality, and they're based in the things that they believe in, but they have been told that we don't believe in those things. That, you know, that's the big lie, when they're just misinformed and say that guys like you and me, oh, we're liberal, we hate God, we hate Jesus, we hate all that. You know, it's just utter nonsense.
That's why I think conservatives should have been the ones fighting for a public option, you know? If you believe in capitalism,
mm-hmm.
if you believe in competition, like a public option competing with private insurance or cheaper Canadian drugs competing with our own that drive prices down, all the stuff they sell you in business school.
Yep.
If you believe in that, if you're a capitalist, then why are you afraid of a public option? Why would you oppose it? If you want to save American lives, that's why we went to Iraq to spend $1 billion a week throwing that down the hole, to save American lives, well, 45,000 Americans die every year because they're uninsured. And if you don't want to help the sick, then you don't get to call yourself a Christian anymore. And I, on the grounds of Christianity, patriotism, and conservative capitalism is exactly why the $127 billion shaved off the deficit from a public option.
Yep.
That's why the conservatives should have been the one leading this fight. And damn it, Brad, they could have gotten it passed. These Democrats are walking around in clown shoes.
That's right. And that's why they are not conservatives. Let's go to Craig in Napa Valley, California. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Craig, what's on your mind?
Hi, guys. You're really blowing my mind here because there's like this, I almost feel like there's this wave of enlightenment going over the country here, because I hear people saying the same things I'm thinking, and this concept of liberal and conservative. I'm not a liberal or a conservative. I'm both, and so is most everybody else. This distinction is something created by Washington politicians.
Yep.
Who, Washington is like a country club, and you and I are not invited. And here's the thing. Here's something I've figured out. Vices lead to failure, and virtues lead to success. Now, you know what the seven vices are, right?
Yes. I'm a big fan of about four of them. But
well, he does, but I'm a Jew, so I really don't know. But we don't have time for all of them.
How many of the virtues?
Yeah.
How many?
How many virtues?
Faith, hope, and charity.
Okay, look, we've got on vices. We have lust, gluttony, greed.
Craig, I got to have you get to your point because your phone's really bad. So give us one good punctuation mark here.
Pardon?
Give us one good punctuation mark because your phone's really bad, and I got to move on.
Okay. Well, anyway, the point is, virtues lead to success, and we need to concentrate on our virtues and on our common goals.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that call. And yeah, this right, left, red, blue, liberal, conservative, Republican, Democratic paradigm is a phony one, and it is, as I've said for years, it's just put in place to make it to balance an unlevel playing field for the bad guys.
In talking about these things, even though they're off the script a bit, and pointing out that our commonalities outweigh our differences, and a lot of what passes for conservative is not. It's just recklessness, and a lot of what passes for liberal is often meanness or not liberal at all. And the more we can point out these differences, the more we can build bridges and awaken. Since that's the theme of the evening, our Republican loved ones and coworkers and neighbors. And I think that that's the best hope we have.
Don't be a hater. Reach out to these people. They are just confused, most of
really,
them anyway.
Let's be honest. There's a lot of douchebags out there.
Yeah.
And the problem with douchebaggery is it's contagious. And I know lots of liberal douchebags who I agree with on everything, but they're horrible people. And I know lots of conservatives who I agree with nothing, and they're lovely.
Yes.
So it's like we got to lead by example. And again, if you don't convince the right wing douchebag, you might convince his wife or his kid or any bystanders.
We are speaking to right wing douchebags across the country tonight here with John Fugelsang.
Don't be a left wing douchebag.
Dan, don't be a douchebag at all. Brad, in for Mike Malloy, taking your calls at 877-520-1150. Our last segment with John coming up, so get in now, and then we'll hope to have some open phones tonight. All right, much more straight ahead. Stay with us. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, Rush. I'm taking back your song, too. I'm taking back the Pretenders for America. How do you like them apples, Rush? Oh, the guy in the chat room wanted Rush, the band? Oh, my mistake. Oh, never mind. Yeah. There you go. We're taking this. You like that, John? Did?
Yes, that makes up for going from Helter Skelter to Convoy.
There you go. We're speaking with John Fugel, saying you are listening to the Mike Malloy Show, not the Rush Limbaugh Show. I'm not even sure. Are they still on the air? Is he still?
Rush Limbaugh?
Maybe, yeah. Is he still? Did he?
Yeah, he's still on the air, but it's pretty much he's kind of like devolved into an id with skin.
There you go. That's John Fugelsang, comedian, philosopher, writer, performer, author, all around swell fellow. I am Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. In for Mike, taking your calls 877-520-1150. Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour, so this will have to be quick. Let's go to Dan in Glen Rock, New Jersey. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Dan, what's on your mind?
Hey, Brad. Hey, John. John, hey. you know me from Facebook, I think.
You're his friend, so there you go.
That's the most sincere relationship adults can have now.
You might know Otis Gibson, but anyway, I wanted to know, if you were to write a book, what would you write about?
Me or Brad?
You, John.
You, John.
Oh, I am writing a book, and it's about how to use the Bible when arguing with your psychotic fundamentalist right-wing Christian friends and loved ones.
Wow.
Yes.
And when can we look forward? Thanks for that call, Dan. When can we look forward to that book, John?
Setting you up for some airtime as soon as you can. As soon as I can give you an idea of that.
Okay.
We're still very much in the data collection phase.
You
but
got
it's coming along nicely, and the publishers are happy with its direction. So.
Sweet. You got a you got a title?
Yeah, but I'm not going to talk about it yet because it might still change.
All right.
But I'll be promoting it heavily in election year.
Very good. Okay. I'll just leave that right there. Estelle in Palm Springs. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's going on, Estelle?
Well, I have to tell you, Brad Friedman, and now John Fugelsang, how you're being perceived here by friends and family.
Uh-oh.
You guys are totally awesome. This is the best show I've heard, and I listen to a lot of shows.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
You
call
are
Brad's program director and tell him.
Even in Palm Springs?
In Palm Springs and also Santa Barbara.
Yeah?
Yeah. And,
well,
you know, you're so informed. You're so eloquent. You make the case, and you make it so logical and, not the least of it, entertaining. And that really is the catalyst.
I steal everything I say from Huffington Post, so I'm mostly celebrity gossip, but go on.
There you go.
Well, you're modest.
I don't read Huffington Post. I just write there, but I don't read there, so I don't know. Anyway, I really appreciate that, Estelle. Thanks.
Well, please keep it up, because you ought to be everywhere. You ought to be doing a TV show with this kind of wonderful commentary that you do, because it's motivating, and that's the point.
You're great, Estelle. Thank you very much, and I'll be heading out to Palm Springs, I think, in a couple of days as I'm heading towards Phoenix. So
lucky
I'll wave.
You.
I know I'll wave to you from the 15. Thanks, Estelle. Appreciate it.
All
okay. Right, keep listening.
Bye-bye.
Spread
Bye-bye.
The word. Okay, real quick, we can try to get one more in here, John. Mike,
please.
And if you're on the line, we don't get to you. We'll get to you in the next hour. I'm going to have open lines. So, Mike in Wilmington, North Carolina, what's on your mind, sir?
Hey, buddy, I don't know if I can follow that, but let me do it real quickly. Thanks for taking my call. As I told your lady on the phone, I agree with about 99% of what you're saying, so let me bust you on the other 1%.
All right.
A lot of people like to make the distinction about racism being kind of a Southern thing.
Oh, no.
And as you can tell from my voice, I'm a little bit Southern myself.
Yeah.
So you got to be a little careful on that, because one of the things that you lose people down here around on is when you call all Southerners racist.
Oh, I didn't do that. I didn't do that, sir.
Yeah, did you?
No, you didn't. Brandy
no.
did that one.
Oh, I did it?
Yeah, you did.
I thought it was Fugel saying. He said, oh, those racists down in the South.
No, that's not what I said. I didn't say that.
Selling me out like that, John. I can't believe it. Well,
No. I don't think Brad said it either, but let me tell
Thanks,
you.
John.
Well, maybe you didn't. I said
that when Lincoln was shot and his party was taken over by the people that killed him, like Jesus,
right.
And in the case of Lincoln, he was killed by a right-wing, conservative, white, racist Southerner.
Absolutely.
And
And it's fair to say that that element is certainly what took over the Republican Party during Reconstruction.
Mike, I got to get to a break, so I appreciate your call, and I'm sorry if I did that. It was an accident. Hey, John.
Never offend the South because I'm half cracker.
There you go. Which half? hey, brother, really appreciate having you on. JohnFugelsang.com. You rock. Let's say hello next time you're back out here in Los Angeles, my friend.
Thank you, Brad. It's a pleasure to be on your show. I'm playing for the troops in Honduras next week, so I'll tell them hi for you.
Bless you, brother. Go get them. All right, much more straight ahead. Brad, in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us and your calls, 877-520-1150. Hang on the line. I'll try to get to everyone.